5 or 10 years ago, if you said you'd met your partner online, eyebrows might have been raised. But these days, if you manage to get together offline, a new US study says you're actually the odd one out now. If you met your partner online, what was the experience like and how did it compare to meeting in real life? Tell us on our Facebook page. Dr. Lauren Rosewarne is a senior lecturer at Melbourne University who specialises in our relationship with the internet and our online habits around dating and hooking up. Lauren, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello, Hilary. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, Lauren, this new study, How Couples Meet and Stay Together, really does what it says on the packet, doesn't it? But it found that in the US, meeting your partner online is now the new normal. What does the research say about how Australian statistics might compare to that?
Yeah, it seems to indicate that even though we've probably had this as a hunch, you know, the number of couples around us that we know met online has been progressively increasing. This study seems to indicate since about 2013, the internet has now taken over as the number one way we meet our partner. And certainly in my research, that is a situation that's replicated in Australia as well. We used to meet people at work, church, school. Now the internet, apps, etc., is the dominant way we meet our partner.
And this was a big study. It tracked people over a long period of time, and it was done by an independent academic rather than a dating platform, which is heartening when we look at the results. How much did we find out about the diversity of couples? Because we tend to focus a lot on heterosexual couples when we talk about these issues.
Yeah, there were lots of interesting things I found in the study. One of the things that makes this an interesting study that I hadn't seen this type of research before was comparing over a really, you know, dating back to the 1940s onwards, the way people met their partner right through until today. So you've got this sense of a longitudinal or change over time analysis that that shows that the internet has really made a marked a difference to how we meet our partners. But the study also showed some interesting things, such as things like we're more likely to have more relationships over the life course now as a result of the internet, that we're less likely to be with our childhood sweetheart, which is kind of interesting, particularly since the early internet research started to talk about this sort of Facebook phenomena where we reconnected with someone from our past and it was leading to all of these Facebook divorces. It almost seems like we've moved on from that we've graduated beyond letting Facebook ruin our marriages into letting Facebook ruin other aspects of our lives, but rather we're now using apps instead of those early platforms to meet partners or reconnect with partners as well.
And do we know why this change is occurring? Is it just, you know, we don't have friends anymore, we don't leave the house? What's happening?
So my thoughts on the reason the technology has taken off so much or so quickly as well is it's just a way to do what humans have always done and wanted to do since the dawn of time, meet people and have sex. Now, it's just made that much more efficient. I think, though, as a result of all of the swiping, we've probably de-skilled ourselves a little bit in other areas. That compounded with other factors such as, you know, Me Too and heightened awareness of sexual politics and interactions being misconstrued, etc. I think we just like the safety of being doing what we always wanted to do, meet people, approach people, hopefully couple with people, but we can do this in our pajamas while watching Netflix. So it really taps into a lot of things humans want, compounded with laziness.
Has the stigma changed though? Because there was for a long time this idea that online relationships were just less romantic and would probably break up quicker.
So some of that's still true. Film and television still presents online relationships as somewhat dodgy. That dodgy could be the person is more likely to be a predator, a clown, a man with a parrot on his shoulder. You know, there's all kinds of very weird stereotypes that are presented in film and TV around that. There's also the media loves the idea of the internet predator. So whenever there's some sort of horrible thing that happens, particularly to a woman, we seem to want to know what was the perp's online history? Did he online date? So there is that aspect to it that will still exist even though people's lived experiences have changed. The other aspect, though, is even though most of us or the majority of relationships have started online, this isn't actually how people want to meet. People still have a very, very idealized idea of love. They want to meet someone. Eyes met across a crowded room. We bumped into each other at the laundromat. You know, the Hollywood meet cute is still seen as the desirable meeting of a partner, as opposed to a match being spat out by an algorithm on an app.
We're chatting with Lauren Rosewarne. She's a senior lecturer in the School of Social and Political Sciences at Melbourne University. And also, Kerry Sackville is with us. She's someone with first-hand experience of online dating. She's an author and a columnist, and her latest book is called Out There, A Survival Guide for Dating in Midlife. Kerry, welcome to Life Matters.
Oh, lovely to be here.
Now, were you surprised by these figures showing that more people meet via online dating than any of the more traditional methods these days?
No, not at all. I mean, this is the way of the world now. And it's not just in romantic relationships. I mean, I met my best friend in the world through Twitter, through the internet. And I think that's how people are making connections now. And so there's nothing surprising about that at all.
Why do you think, though, online dating is becoming more and more popular? Because we do hear those horror stories, especially for women, you know, unsolicited pictures of things that we would rather not see, for example.
Yeah, but I think what we're forgetting is that we used to hear horror stories all the time beforehand as well. This is just a new way of meeting unsavoury people. Women have always met unsavoury types. Women have always had relationships with men who don't behave well. Every woman of my age, and I'm now 50, can tell you a story about a bad boyfriend or a bad experience she had, you know, meeting someone in a pub. So I think that's probably slightly exaggerated by the media. And yes, online dating does facilitate some bad behaviour, and online life facilitates bad behaviour because people are more, feel more empowered to say things in a message that they wouldn't necessarily say to someone's face. But I think what we're forgetting about online dating and all kinds of online meeting is that it just facilitates the first connection. After that, the people actually have to take up the relationship in real life. And so, someone who connects with a potential partner online doesn't then carry out the whole relationship online. They actually meet and proceed in a way that would be the same as if you'd met in a pub or a bar. It's just a different way of connecting with people. And what I want to clarify is, well, I think we talk a lot about how you're put together by an algorithm, but that's not actually how it works when you're online dating. What happens in online dating is that you see faces of people, much like you would if you went to a pub or a party, and you choose who you want to connect with rather than having an algorithm decide for you. So it's a little more active than that.
I'm not sure I would trust the algorithms in my head.
I don't think anyone would trust it.
those algorithms online either.
God, no.
Well, and the stereotype that we touched on before, that we have more meaningless short-term relationships and hookups because of apps. Kerry, what's your experience in that field?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that simply because there's more choice now. And I think it's similar to when you're in your 20s, for example, and you're constantly going to parties and you meet people at parties and there's so many people out there that you might have, you know, this boyfriend and that boyfriend or this girlfriend and that girlfriend, but you know that if you break up, there'll be somebody else. When you get older and the world that we live in now, there are less people to meet. And so people, I think, were more happy in more recent times before the internet that if you would meet someone, you'd think, wow, I'm so lucky I've met this person, I'm going to stick with them. And now what online dating has done is given you access to a huge range of people you never would have normally had access to. You know, you can swipe on people who live out of area or people who you don't have any friends in common with or people who work in a different area to you. So I think there is definitely that sense of, oh, wow, I have so much choice now. If this relationship isn't meeting all of my needs, then I can keep looking. And in fact, a lot of people keep looking while they're in the relationship. So I think there is definitely something to be said for that.
And Lauren, you've written, talked on podcasts before about the danger of that constant shopping for perfection, but you've also talked about the idea that on paper compatibility is not actually a very good determinant of the longevity of a relationship. And Kerry's mentioned that too. What do you suggest for that? Do you recommend just meeting up in person as early as you can to see if that chemistry is there?
Yeah, that's definitely important, is not delaying that first meeting. And Kerry kind of hinted at this idea about, you know, people divulging more than they would in person via an email or, you know, in a text message. We tend to be quite confessionary if we're not looking in someone's eyes. And that gives us a sense that we've really built a very quick rapport with this person. You know, I've met the one in 10 emails. As a result, you meet the person in real life and there's no chemistry there. So to save a lot of that kind of grief, bringing that meeting forward is important. There's other things, though, and this is probably why Facebook has dipped its toe or is dipping its toe into online dating. Some of the research seems to indicate the best and most long-lasting relationships are the ones where we've got somewhat of a connected network. And that connected network we don't often have when you just meet someone who's been matched because they're within 25 kilometres from where you are at a given point in time. Those kind of relationships are really easy to exit because you don't have, you know, a mesh, a network of friends, family, etc., who all know each other. Therefore, you can leave and probably not bump into them at the supermarket. But those kind of networks, those interconnected lives, are actually what hold relationships together. So potentially having those networks as well as meeting the person online is a better determinant for longevity. If longevity is what you're after, not everybody is.
I was going to say, is it a good thing if the external things to the relationship are what's holding you together rather than a deep desire to stay stuck to this person?
Absolutely. And this is one of those questions I'm often asked in when talking about my research on this topic is a lot of young people sort of lament that no one's staying together like their grandparents who their marriage lasted for 50 years. 50-year marriage just often lasted because grandma had no other option to leave grandpa. And those type of things about this idealization that longevity equals success or longevity equals happiness, for some people it does. Other people just like that really good Saturday night and are happy to leave it there.
Kerry, how valued is honesty in the online dating sphere? Do people expect others to be upfront immediately about their lives, all the kids and pets and exes, or is it more about some code words and a slow reveal?
Oh, look, you know, actual outright lying is rife on online dating. And I think it's rife on social media in general, you know, and something you do learn to pick up the code and you do learn to see certain giveaway signs. For example, so many men who say that they're, say, 49 are actually in their early 50s because, you know, they want to be on the lower end of 50 because you get more swipes if you're on the lower end of 50, little things like that. But people lie all the time. People fudge the truth. People say that they're divorced when they're actually separated, or say that they're recently separated when they're still living with their partner. You really have to be careful when you're online dating that you ask the right questions. You ask really specific, hard questions. And I think what Lauren said is spot on. I mean, you meet someone quickly. You don't get into these long texting relationships because you can feel like you know someone really well and you're having this great, great rapport with them. But it's very easy to say what you want, you know, what you want someone to believe in text. It's much harder when you're actually face to face and you get the real picture, and also to see, you know, if there's chemistry. But it's a very fine line in online dating. And again, in any relationship that's formed on social media, the balance between being honest and giving the truth about yourself, but also wanting to present your best face and not necessarily burden the person you're just, you know, meeting in a virtual sense with all the messy details of your life. So everybody is playing this very, very delicate game. How much to reveal, how much to hold back, how much to tell the truth, how much to fudge,
and when. Kerry, I was listening the other day to a podcast that suggested that young people, it's now seen as rude to meet up in real life, to like meet your partner in real life. You only approach potential romantic partners online, which just, you know, freaks the older people out, obviously. But what do you see happening in the future? Do you think online dating is going to eventually become the only game, or is it plateaued?
No, I don't think it's going to become the only game. Human beings are still human beings and people still meet in person and feel attraction to each other. I think the primary factor is always going to be people's desire for connection and love and sex and attraction, and that will play out in all sorts of different areas. People still fall in love with their work colleagues, and people still fall in love with friends of friends, and people still meet at university and other situations. I think that online dating has reached a certain peak. My hope for online dating for the future is that there will be more checks and balances, I think, on social media in general, so that there's less anonymous accounts, that people will become, I guess, better at managing the kinds of relationships that develop online, because there are specific things you need to keep in mind. And I suspect that young people will have a better grip on the kinds of things that, that people like me who came into online dating after, you know, after a childhood of meeting people organically and never having connections with people online because we didn't have an online world, I think their literacy about online dating will be much better than ours, and they'll make less mistakes and be just more savvy about how to meet people, how to weed people out, how to make those kind of assessments in an online situation.
I'm going to wait and see what happens when we get the chips implanted in our arms all around the world. Lauren Rosewarne, Kerry Sackville, thank you so much for chatting with us on Life Matters today.
Great pleasure.
Kerry Sackville. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Kerry Sackville is an author and columnist whose latest book is called Out There, A Survival Guide for Dating in Midlife. And Dr. Lauren Rosewarne is a senior lecturer in the School of Social and Political Sciences at the University of Melbourne. And she specialises in our relationship with the internet and what a relationship it is. You're listening to Life Matters on RN.